So a faith, the Oxford Dictionary says, it is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something, or a strong belief in doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, of course, that drives the world crazy, because everything must have an explanation. Everything must have a scientific reasoning for it. And that's why we struggle, because we don't like things that are out of our realm. We don't like things that we can't do. We don't like things that beat us. Because of course, if we can't define it, then we can't manipulate it, because it's out of our reach and out of our control. And thank heavens that God is out of our control. Our message, though, must always be a gracious message, a loving message. Too many times we've seen Christian messages delivered passionately, but aggressively. And that is what we must be. That's what we must encourage our Christian politicians to be relevant. There is nothing worse than a ranting Christian. Listen to what people are saying rather than how they are saying it. Listen to the content of their plea coming from that passion and that desperation rather than the etiquette that they have left out. We need to preach. We need to heal. We need to proclaim. We need to be vehicles of recovery, and we need to set at liberty. That's not political. That is deeply, ethically, spiritual. Whatever we see of atrocities at the moment, of course, all of those are despicable. But they should never, ever make us despair. Because that is the ideal opportunity to be light that breaks darkness. So when you get two candles, put them together, suddenly the flame gets bigger, and you think, oh, that's a third one, fourth one, fifth one. And the more you put together, the bigger the flame becomes. Every person in this room is a light of the world. When you put those flames together, that light together, then you get a greater light. And that's why, as the family of Christ, as the body of Christ in the world, when we stand together as that light, we break that darkness. We saw that when we saw those 21 courageous men dying in Libya at the hands of Daesh. They thought they had victory. They became triumphalist. They paraded them along the beach. They put them up on their television screens. They had theatrically set up their cameras for maximum exposure, for maximum power and effect. And they thought they'd won. What they didn't realize is that they were releasing a video by their own hands that gave so much power to those they had killed. That was light in darkness. Not only their courage and their defiance and their power at their death, but what they did to the world. I have never seen such an outpouring of support in all of my years. We forget that Saul was first century Daesh. But then through the transformative power of an almighty God who is responsible for miracles beyond our understanding, that first century Daesh became the great teacher Paul. He changed. He was ruthless, but he changed. We have a responsibility to speak, because we cannot just leave that public square unchallenged. I don't speak to get votes. What we must be is a moral compass within the political journey and not players within the process. That's where we lose credibility. I have no doubt in the world that the vast majority of Muslims totally reject what is so ruthlessly happening in places like Iraq. But it is up to leaders within those communities to present a counter-narrative to what is being spoken, because whether we like to accept it and whether we like to admit it or not, people like Daesh are using religious script to justify what they're doing. Being alive is not a privilege given to us by other human beings. Being alive is a gift given to us by God. And that gift includes living that life with equality, with dignity, in safety, and with prosperity. These are rights. These are God-given rights. There is nothing more damaging or crippling than considering yourself a victim. Because then you're disempowered. Christianity has outlived the entry of Islam in the 7th century. And by God's grace, Christianity will outlive what we're seeing today. Because Christ is in their midst. First they came for the trade unionists. I did not speak because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the socialists. I did not speak because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the Jews. And I did not speak because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me. And there was no one left to speak for me. And I'm one of these people who actually, first and foremost, is thankful to the British government for taking in 20,000 refugees. Yes, that number needs to be much bigger. But at the outset, we couldn't possibly pledge more than that and be able to handle it. And so we as Christian communities, in our role as advocates, must play our part to show the government that we can support. And when we can, then we say, listen, see, we're here, we can support Christians and Muslims coming in, because the vast majority will be Muslims. Can we bring more in? Finally, the last word to Scripture. St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Thank you.